And here we go. Psalm chapter number 1. We'll look at 3 verses. If you have that, or if you don't, you can at least listen. And the book of Psalms is the Jewish song book. They actually memorized many of these passages, and they would sing them as they came to the temple. Or when they had feast days, they would sing these songs. So much like our Amazing Grace and How Great Thou Art, and some of those great hymns that are in those books and the pews there, they would sing the book of Psalms. And there were 3 sections. Either the Psalms were about trials, they were going through very deep and dark times, or they were about trust, that they would just have to trust the Lord. They couldn't see what God was doing. They'd have to trust Him. Or there were Psalms of triumph, like the end zone, where you'd spike the ball and do this little crazy dance. So every psalm is about one of those. And so the book of Psalms deals with every emotion we as humans would ever have. And that's why it is so close to our hearts. People love the book of Psalms. The P is silent, Psalms. So I want to read the very first one, just the first 3 verses for a moment here. And the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We're going to talk just about 3 subjects today: the people, the priority, and the prosperity that's mentioned here. First 3 verses deal with saved people, Christians. So these promises will only apply to you if you're a believer. If you're a child of God, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, these 3 verses will be your promises. The last 3 deal with people who do not believe. It says the unrighteous are not so. They're like the chaff or a tumbleweed that the wind just blows here, back and forth. Saved people and lost people are totally different. We have different fathers. We have different destinations. We have a different spirit. We have a different book. Doesn't make us better than them, but we're a whole lot more privileged because we're a child of God. So I know I'm speaking mostly to the children of God today. It's not evangelistic. Maybe I would call this today getting a great start. Summer's just about over, so we're starting the last quarter, the last season of the year. 3 months, the year's going to be over. And I realized years ago, you don't just get one start. Sometimes you don't finish something, you got to get a fresh start. And so the message could be called, how to get a good start. Good start at what? Finishing this year strong. A good start in your marriage. A good start in a relationship. A good start with your parents. A good start with your kids. A fresh start with you and God. And so I'm just going to kind of go from here. Our lapel mic's broke, so we have this. And my neck was broke, so everything's kind of broke down. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for these good people that are here. They have made it a priority. These young parents, was not easy getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids ready for church. Others that drove buses or vans and shuttles to get people here. Those that worked in the nursery. Those that cleaned the buildings. Those that drove all the way from Santa Rosa 1 hour just to be at church. Those from Travis Air Force Base, Vacaville, all over, just to come hear what you have to say to us. Make it worth it. Help everyone here say, I heard something. I got something today. Help me say only what ought to be said in Jesus' name. Amen. We got about 20 minutes. We got to get rolling. The verse starts off, blessed. The word blessed to us would make us feel like getting a blessing. In the Bible days, it also meant happiness. And the word was rarely used for people. The Romans would say the word blessed was a happiness only reserved for the gods, little g, all their idols, their gods. Only the gods could be this happy. And so the psalmist, David here, says, you want to be happy? That's kind of how he starts the book of Psalms. You want to be happy? Isn't that the goal of everyone in our nation? They're all searching for happiness. Some in a bottle, some in drugs, some in relationships, some in money, some in power, some in popularity. They just want to be happy. If I could just be happy, they're all searching for it. The goat, greatest of all time. If I could be greatest of all time, I would be happy. The FOMO, fear of missing out. I'm missing out. Everyone's happy but me. Look at all their posts. Look at all their friends and their followers on social media. If I could be happy. And they just can't reach it. The billionaires can't get it. The movie stars can't get it. The rock stars can't get it. They all want it. Somehow it's slipping through their hands. All throughout Scripture, people wanted to be blessed. Jabez, in that famous prayer, said, oh, bless me, O Lord, indeed. Jacob wrestled with the angel, and the angel said, let me go. And he says, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We sing the hymn, showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Somehow, when you say the word blessed, we want it. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the meek. He started off, you want to be happy? In the book of Psalms, he says, you want to be happy? Then Jesus' first sermon, you want to be happy? It kind of gathered people's attention. So what's the requirements, Pastor? Come back next week. We will tell you part two, the cliffhanger. Now, I want to give you three facts about this passage right here. Number one, it starts off with the people. He says, blessed is the man, and you could put your name there, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager. Blessed is the man, and he says, it's three sections. Walketh not. He starts off negative. He says, you want to be happy? You're going to have to say no to some things. It says, blessed is the man that walketh in O. No. Put a T on the N. Not. He says, in the counsel of the ungodly. What's that mean? It doesn't mean you're sitting in a chair with a little clock or watch going back and forth seeking counsel. The word counsel means steering. It means every one of us has people we allow to put their hands on our steering wheel and steer our lives. Many times through advice, through things that they say. He says, you want to be happy? He starts off, he says, happy or blessed is a man that walketh not. That means you're not going where they're going. You're not going places where the ungodly people go. He says, walketh not in the counsel. Why? They're telling you something. What do you mean, Pastor? People are telling us something. School teachers are going to tell you something 8 hours a day. Professors at a secular college are going to tell you something. Music industry, they're going to tell you something. Social media, they're going to tell you something. You go to a palm reader, they're going to tell you something. There's people everywhere telling us, go here, don't go here, do this, don't do that. And you'll be a success and happy according to who you listen to. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel, and he says, of the ungodly. Notice it keeps going from there. He says, look down further. He says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So he says, we're going the direction, we're walking. Now we're just standing. When you get in the wrong crowd, they slow down your progress for God. You are walking, now you're just standing. They've slowed it down. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. So what's he saying? Your crowd determines your destination. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And it's always that crowd who's clapping and cheering for us to do wrong and evil. They'll never show up on your wedding day. They'll never be there when your first child's born. They're not going to be around when you graduate from college. They're not going to see you when you sail off to the military. They're not going to be there for the big events. Anyway, I'm way off and I'm losing time. I've been around long enough to bring enough kids to camp. And you've always got rebels in any group where you say, don't do this, and they do it. You draw a line, don't cross this, and they're the first one to cross it. They're rebels. Some of you were that way as teenagers. And some of you still are. It's a sign. Wet paint, don't touch. I know how you are. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. We're just that way. We have a rebel in us. But we could bring kids to church camp and we'd have several rebels on the butt. Why have we got to do this? And how come we got to do this? I don't like that. And just rebels. They're going to do their own thing, sneak around. Soon as we get off the bus, in 5 minutes, they have found all the other rebels from all the other church groups. You know why? That these little antennas that the aliens have given them. Woo-hoo, beep, beep, beep. And they spot them. It's something about it. The crowd. Someone says, Pastor, we're moving to Oregon. We're getting away from the wrong crowd in California. Hate to tell you, your kid is the wrong crowd. You know, you can move to Siberia, and if you're the wrong crowd, you're going to find the wrong crowd. And so he says, blessed are those that walk not. And then he said, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Then he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progress. Walking. Now standing, hanging out, now relaxing, and laughing with the wicked. Laughing at what, Pastor? Evil. Laughing at homosexuality. Laughing at the drunk guy on the movie. Laughing at the cussing. Laughing at the nudity. Laughing at God's name taken in vain. Laughing at all this sin. See, if the devil can get us to laugh at it, we're pretty comfortable with it. America's lost our blush. We used to be embarrassed over sin. Now he's got us laughing at it. That's why all the situation comedies. Why? Get us to laugh at evil. Get us to laugh at what God hates. Get us to laugh at what breaks up families. And then sometimes the scorner, and the word scorner means laugher, it means laughing at people who are doing right. I guarantee you, there'll be teenagers get off our buses today in Vallejo and Fairfield, and as they get off the bus, there'll be a crowd in the neighborhood. Hey, church guy, how was Jesus today? And they'll be laughed at by those that didn't go to church, and they'll be mocked. You go to any public school where our kids are bringing their Bible to public school, and they've got gospel track. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Pope, come back. And they'll be laughed at. Why? That's what scorners do. They laugh. Someone calls it God's electric chair. It's about the last seat you get. And so here's where the psalmist starts out. He says, you want to be happy? You got to choose the right crowd. It's him or it's them. You either get their applause or you get his applause one day. You can't have both. Who you listening to? Well, my friend told me this, and they told me this. Well, you need to read his book and find out what he's tolling you to do. Get it? Tolling you to do. I'm starting to talk like some of you guys now. Public schools teach the kids to laugh at what their parents and pastors believe. The scorners. It makes us more comfortable with sin. Quickly here. Back up. Verse 2. So that's where he starts right there. Want to be happy? Going to have the right crowd. Who is your crowd today? The pot smokers? The drinkers? The pornography people? The sexting pictures? Did you see this R-rated and X-rated movie? The man, you don't want to go to church tonight, do you? The skipping church people, the having an affair people, your husband will never know. Hey, you're on a business trip. Your wife will never know. And let's go. Who is your crowd? You got the wrong crowd if you got people trying to invite you to do things that's going to make you feel guilty. Just a thought. It's free. Number two, we see another fact about this passage. Now here's the priority. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So God makes this real simple. It's old hat for many of us. He's saying, if we're going to be happy, we're going to have to say no to the wrong crowd. Number two, we're going to have to bathe in this book right here. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, what's that word delight mean? It means what lights you up. I could say these words, and for some of you, it would light you up. Fishing. Shopping. Okay, this is for the men. Food. I had 10 men asleep, and they're wide awake right now. Where? When? Sports. Raiders! By the way, I did read in the newspaper this week, the Raiders, traitors, by the way, left us. We fixed up this nice ball field for them. They go to Vegas, and the Raiders are supposed to have a better team this year. They said, it's a fact, because 11 of them are probation and out of prison on the same Sunday, and they think they'll have enough to play. That's free. Someone said, do you know what you call a huddle with the Raiders on the football field? A drug deal. Pastor, why do you hate them? Because my team never wins. I got to razz somebody. We could say all these things. Cars. Motorcycles. Jewelry. Perfumes. A handsome man. It's not many of us left. A beautiful woman. Music. We all have something that just lights us up. For some, it's the gym, working out, cooking, a clean house. Miracles still happen. So God says, if you want to be blessed and be happy, you have to choose your crowd. Second, the priority has got to be this book right here. What's this book called in Scripture? It's called a mirror. You look in it, no one compliments you. You see yourself as God sees you. When you look in a mirror, you do this. You correct something. It's called a fire, water, honey, meat, light, comfort, sword, shield. It was the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. He's going to be beheaded. He says, bring me my coat, my books, but especially the parchments or my Bible. He wrote 13 books, and Paul said, don't forget my Bible. He delighted in this book. Jesus is being tempted by the devil. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. He quotes Scripture. Jesus rebuked the religious leaders. He said, have you not read? Haven't you read this passage yet? Didn't you get to this chapter yet? Jesus was consumed. He was the Word, and he spoke the Word. I love the old song, sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. These are beautiful words. Wonderful words. You got to get it in you. It's not enough to own 27 copies. It's not enough to say, there's my Bible. It's right there. I went to someone's house one time in Louisiana. And I said, if you died, would you go to heaven? Could I show you from the Bible? They said, we got a Bible. Hang on. They went in their kitchen, started opening all the drawers, pulled out all the pots and pans. It was in a box. They said, we keep it here for safekeeping so no one will steal it. Well, I said, looks like the devil done stole it from you. You have to have it out. It's got to get in you. I took Brother Steve Guzman to a ball game one time. Mistake. And this team scored. We're in the stands. Amen! They didn't want you to say at a ball game.
You know why amen came out of Brother Steve? He had been reading so much that this book, the Bible, came out when he cheered. COVID told us, Dr. Fauci told us, our government leaders told us, our presidents told us, the Bible and church was non-essential. But we've got news for them. The Bible is essential. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God says you can exist without the Bible, but you can't have real life without the Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord. This book affects your look. I don't have to ask you if you've been reading your Bible this week. All I have to do is look at your face. I said, Pastor, how do you do that? It's real easy. Wrote this little song. Bible man, does whatever the Bible can. He can preach, he can teach. Old and New Testaments, look out, here comes the Bible man. So they're making a cartoon about that, and maybe you've heard that somewhere. What are we supposed to do with this book? We meditate in it. That means we think about it. And some of you kids have never seen a cow. When we were kids, it was two syllables, moo cow. Because they moo. Some of you have never seen one, you're city slickers, but that's where you get McDonald's hamburger meat from. 10% is real meat. Taco Bell, 3%. But if you've ever seen those cows, and you know, I don't know how God does these miracles. A black cow eats green grass and it gives white milk and yellow butter. I don't know how that works. But you see those cows eating, then they'll sit under a tree and you'll see them. They're done eating, but they're still chewing. They swallow it, goes to stomach number one, number two, number three, comes back up and they're chewing. They're chewing on it all day. That's what God wants us to do. Take the message we hear today. Chew on it all day long. Do I have the right crowd? Am I the right crowd? Is there anyone around me or my kids that's the wrong crowd? What is stopping God's blessings? Am I reading the Bible enough? Do I think of... That's what chewing on it means. He said, and there's only two times to think about the Bible. Here it is. Day and night. He said day and night. You say, how does that change us, Pastor? It changes our thinking. Someone asked me one time, they said, oh, y'all go to Hopewell Baptist Church. They're going to brainwash you. Pardon? I hate to tell you. My brain needs washing. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet, Simon Peter. He said, no, wash my head, my whole body. Wash all of me. We get saved by trusting Christ as Savior. Our heart is clean, but our mind gets dirty and our life gets dirty. We're in a dirty world. We've got to be washed by that book all the time. Thomas Paine, I am told, I remember reading the quote years ago, a very well-known leader in American history. He said, that book, the Bible, there will come a time when the Bible will cease to exist in America. There'll be no more copies of that book. Well, God in the book of Psalms says it's eternal. The flower and grass will pass away. My word endures forever. Where Paine said that, I am told, there's a printing press right now printing Bibles. Pain is gone, the word of God carries on. There was a man in China. You can read the book. It's called The Heavenly Man. Unbelievable biography. He was in China harvesting rice, hard life in the field, hours every day. He looked up one day and said, I don't even know if you exist. I am told that you don't exist. But I heard you wrote a book. If it's true, I wish I could just see it before I die. 3 days later, Brother Yoon was in his hut and someone knocked on the hut, three men. We have a delivery. Is Brother Yoon here? He opened the hut and they gave him a box and they left. He'd never seen him before. He opened it up. It was a Chinese Bible. He began weeping, believing that God answered his prayer. He began reading that book, digesting it. In 30 days, he had memorized the book of Matthew, 28 chapters. And then the book of Acts. He began quoting it and sharing it with people. A village next door came and said, "We heard you're a preacher." He said, "I'm not a preacher. We heard you have God's book." He said, "Someone brought it to my hut. Come preach to us." He came to that village and just quoted the book of Matthew. Many villagers gave their hearts to Christ. The Word of God is powerful. It's what our nation was built on. You wonder why America is crumbling now? Someone pulled the foundation out from under the building. Can't read it? Take it out of the public schools? May damage someone's mind? Take it out of our universities? Laugh at it? Scoff at it? Have all these new versions? Tell everybody it's outdated? It's not true? It's got mistakes? The only mistake is them questioning it. This book is perfect. It's a perfect book. The Holy Bible. I love reading about the creation where God just spoke his word and a million galaxies were formed. God's word is pretty powerful. I love reading about the miracles. I love reading about the perfect life of Jesus. I love, with a broken heart, reading the crucifixion about his love for me. I love reading four times in the Gospels the resurrection power where he rose from the dead. I even love the part where it says he's going to throw the devil in the lake of fire one day. And we win. I love reading the part where the new heaven's going to come down to the earth one day and we'll rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. At my mother's funeral, I love the part where one day a trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first and we which are alive shall remain, be caught up with them into the clouds. I love that. I love the Word of God. What a great and interesting book. But most have never read it. Have you? Well, I got one, Pastor. Have you ever read it? 78 hours to read the whole Bible. Some of you teenagers could drink 8 energy drinks and read the Bible at one sitting. You really could. I'm not a good reader. There's Bible apps. You got grandkids? Pay them $1 a hour. Read to grandpa. Read to grandma. There's a way to do it quickly. So what's the blessing from this? Pastor, I want to be a happy person. So we see the people. We see the priority. It's got to be God's word. And then third, we see the prosperity. What do I get out of it? And I know how we are, okay? I say no to the wrong crowd. I fall in love with the Bible. I read it every day. By the way, last week at my mother's funeral, my brother stood up to speak first. And I'll give you the address. It was recorded, and it's on that church website. He looks nothing like me. He's got white hair. He kind of looks like Albert Einstein. You're going to look and say, "That's your brother?" Yeah, he's real smart and a good speaker. But he said, "Mike, Mom wanted you to have her Bible." So I've got my mom's Bible. I remember as a teenager, her sitting at the coffee table saying, "I just finished reading the whole New Testament." I thought they were going to make her a saint in Rome right away or something. You know, I didn't think you could read the whole Bible. She loved that Bible. I looked in Psalms 27 in her Bible, and she had written next to one of the verses, Mike's verse. And that's my favorite verse in the Bible. She had written that down. She had highlighted chapters. in the front, the day I got saved, the day my husband Tom accepted the Lord, the day Tommy, my son, the day Mike got saved. That was big to her. She wrote all that in her Bible. I've got her Bible. She didn't leave me her cigarette case. She didn't leave me a six-pack of Bud Light. You say, how come? Because of controversy, she went to Coors. And I'm just kidding. No, my mom never drank. Her Bible, it was precious to her. Is yours? It's not boring if you'll just read it. You'll read it and something's going to charge inside of you and you're going to say, this is the coolest thing in the world. Well, Pastor, I don't understand the whole thing. Hey, join the crowd. I've been saved 53 years. I don't understand the whole thing. I don't know all the... The guy on the plane next to me is in the military. He said, come on now. He said, what Bible you use? I said, King James. He said, well, it's got these and thous and ye's. I said, look, man, look at me. Ye means you. Thou means you. Thee means you. Now you understand the whole Bible. He started laughing. I said, it's written, I hate to insult you, on a fifth grade level. Yeah, I do understand it. I really like that King James Version. Yeah, it's my favorite. And then we see the prosperity. Here's God's promise to us. Right crowd, fall in love with the Bible. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted. What will God give you? Security. The ungodly are like tumbleweeds. They go from this person's a hero, this person's a hero, and this belief is true, and though it's not true, this world, they don't have any idea what they believe and where they're going. Fads, they change all the time. Beliefs change all the time. Someone that's in love with that book and has the right crowd, God says, you'd be like a tree planted. What's that mean? Trees don't move. We've got trees here on the property that have been here 40, 50 years. They're probably going to be here next week. Why? Wind doesn't move them. Fads don't move them. A little cold doesn't move them. What's God saying? He'll give you security when you go through a broken heart, when you bury your mother, when you bury your dad, when you bury a good friend, when loved ones leave you, when you lose your job, when you have your house foreclosed on, when a loved one stabs you in the back, when someone betrays you. You're just solid. Every family needs a mom and dad that's secure, that's a tree, that's solid. Someone asked me years ago, they said, what's the difference in your church and other churches? I said, we still believe the same. We want to be a tree. And then it says, planted by the rivers of water. That means in the right places. When you follow these principles in the Bible, you'll end up in the right place. Well, I was in a nightclub at 3 a.m. and a shooting started. Man, thank God I didn't get shot. What are you doing in a nightclub at 3 a.m.? You need to be in the right place. Well, I was at this strip joint in a fight. What are you doing in a strip joint? Well, we went to Vegas and was trying to make some money. Get out of the casinos. No wonder you don't have any money. Pastor, pray for me. We're going through financial. How much did you waste on the lottery? Was that the liquor store in a fight? But get out of the liquor store. Some of our trouble is we end up in the wrong places we shouldn't even be. As far as I know, I've been here 37 years. We've never had anybody die in church yet. Now watch, you'll be the first one and mess up the whole thing. You better not. Better not. He says, you'll be like a tree planted. And then he says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What's that mean? A tree that brings forth its fruit. Well, apple tree produces apples. Pear tree produces pears. Partridge in a pear tree. Well, I don't know. Christians produce other Christians. So God says, what is the fruit of a Christian? You and I are to be bearing other Christians. People are supposed to be getting saved because of us sharing the gospel with them. We're to be telling others about Jesus, them getting saved, and then coming to church. Here's my fruit. Here's my fruit. Here's my fruit. Here's my fruit. Second fruit is the fruit of our lips giving praise to God. That's in the book of Psalms. That means one of our fruit is we're always having something good to say about him or them. We're not railing on people. We're not burning people up on social media. We're not backstabbing people. We're not criticizing people. We're not trying to trash people's life. We have something good to say. And then third, it's the fruit of the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit takes possession of our life, soon we have love, joy, peace, self-control, gentleness, back on Sunday nights, not littering, and all these other things. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. A couple of those, just trying to get your attention. And then notice how he ends it. His leaves also shall not wither. Some of you plant people, help me. If the tree stays green all year long and it never turns brown, what kind of tree is that called? It's two parts. The last part says green. The first one says ever. Evergreen. Know what that means? Always joyful. Always joyful. Man, I don't know if you're like me. That's a pretty happy person. Know the wrong crowd. Fall in love with the Bible. Now, he is stable. He has got fruit. He's got joy all the time. And the last phrase says this, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosperity is not always, he started a business, now it's a mega business, so he's a billionaire. No. Oh, he invested in this stock and it. No. Prosperity is this. Your relationships are being blessed. A good marriage. Good kids. Long friendships. God's answering your prayers. You're seeing some loved ones accept the Lord. God's giving you wisdom to share and help people. That's prosperity. Prosperity. I'll end with this. You may not all be at the funeral today of Brother Dewey Brown. So here's Mrs. Brown. She epitomizes all of what I just talked about. Mrs. Jackie Brown taught Sunday school 45 years. In church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, alone. Her husband didn't need church. He wasn't interested in church. He claimed to accept the Lord years ago in his 20s, but just never got in church. So she came alone. Brought her kids when they were young. She taught Sunday school. She came to every church service. When someone wanted a prayer answered, Miss Brown, would you pray for us? She handmade Muppets, those Muppets that you'd see on TV. She made them professionally just like that. She'd give them to missionaries when they passed through town. She would sell them and give that money to missions. Well, one day, she fell and broke her arm. Somehow God worked on her husband. And he showed up that Sunday night. I said, Dewey, what are you doing here? Here's what he said. My wife needs someone to help her hold the songbook. I just showed up to help her hold the songbook. And I don't know how long he came. And he was in the military, lieutenant colonel, retired. We had a military Sunday, had a real tank out front, and don't have time to get into it. It was during ladies' conference time. Dewey came up to me and said, Pastor, it's time I got baptized. I said, I accepted the Lord a long time ago. He said, I wish I'd have come sooner. He said, don't tell Jackie I'm getting baptized today. So lo and behold, he was one of those men that got baptized that Sunday. You know why some of those good things happen? She was planted. She had the right crowd. She loved that Bible. And she was steady.
Are you? The blessings for anybody, God has no favorites. I want to be happy, don't you? I want to be blessed. I've told you the secret. It's no longer a secret. I let it out. But you can use it. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, today's the day. The one that died on that cross, who's alive now, would love to come in your heart and give you eternal life. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized yet, it's between you and him, not you and me. You could be baptized today. Won't make you a member. In a few moments, if you just want to come and pray, you're welcome to come and pray. Let's be the blessed people in California.